Our Bible reading this morning is taken from Mark chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 30. Jesus feeds the 5,000. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "But that would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish, and the number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today is harvest, and I wonder if it is the British equivalent in some ways of the American Thanksgiving, where they give thanks for things. I mean, that's really one of the things we want to do, is we want to say thank you. Now, children, I don't know if you've ever had this, where people go, "No, we need to be grateful." Maybe at the school gates I've heard, "Oh, this has happened, but we need to be grateful for what we got." And the thing that surprises me is that even people that don't believe in God, and I'm sure there's lots of people when they celebrate harvest and Thanksgiving, are thanking, being grateful for things, but who are they thanking? Who do you get to thank for all the things we have? Now, I might have one answer to that. So this is a great quote, and I'll try and, put my phone on. I'll do it as it is, and then maybe try and paraphrase. It says this. "Despite," this is talking about mankind, "despite all our accomplishments, we owe our existence to a 6-inch layer of topsoil and the fact that it rains." Okay, so that means, really means, no matter what people have done, we've put a man on the moon, we've done heart surgery, by a South African, by the way, the first one that did that, and we've done all these things. We've got iPads and phones and Zoom, and yet we owe everything to 6 inches of dirt. So, oh, the fact that it rains. So, here's our dirt. Someone come help me with a ruler, just measure. Okay, come, Bella. Okay, so I grew up with a metric system. So I'm not too sure what 6 inches are. I think there's a six there. Okay, you want to shove it down in the dirt there. Okay, so not going to work. Okay, let's put it on the side. Okay, you hold the ruler. Okay, so let's measure. We'll just measure it to the side. So yeah, okay. So maybe a little bit up there. So this is dirt. Okay, and the fact that it rains. Okay, so we got put some water in. So mankind owes everything to the fact that we've got soil, because that means that it produces food. Would you like to eat that? You sure? But it's good. It's given life to everything. Do you want to say thank you to it? Okay. No, don't worry, but I'll go sit down. Think about it. Soil gives us... by the way, my wife is worried we forgot to bring stuff for harvest, but I've got a bag full of the stuff. So oats, if you don't like oats, in my old age, I've gone back to oats. Oats grow in the ground. Okay, so maybe you don't like oats, guys. Tomato soup. Tomatoes need dirt and water and sunshine. And you might go, milk. Milk doesn't grow from the ground, does it? Where does milk come from? Yeah? Cows. What do cows eat? No, they don't eat milk. That's a big, like, don't worry. They don't eat, but the babies do. You're right. What do they eat? Grass. Grass is one of the biggest crops that's unsung. Animals eat grass. You need grass. In fact, what is the one thing in your cupboard that doesn't come from growing? Okay, so we've got oats, tomato soup. Can anyone think? There's one thing in your cupboard that was never alive, and yet you eat it. So if we didn't have soil, you could have this. Anyone want to guess? Cake. No. Cake comes with eggs, milk, lots of stuff. Yes, salt. In fact, a bowl of salt, if we took away the soil, then a bowl of salt would not be very good, would it? I love your salt. No. Salt's the only thing, because it was a mineral. And so everything owes its existence to 6 inches of soil and the fact that it rains. So what we need to do now is turn around and start praying to this dirt and thank it for what it has done for us. No, we don't do that because that's silly. And we see here, God is the provider that gives us good things. So here's a situation. If we didn't have soil, we would have no food. There's a situation in the Bible where people had no food, and there were lots of people, and they were hungry. They were really hungry. And so we read that. And so if you're following, have a look at 32 onwards. Now, let me say, this is what happens. They're in a desert place. Solitary place. Jesus and his disciples are tired, and people have been listening to him. And his disciples say, let's go off. We're hungry. Let's go off to the other side of the lake so they won't follow us. So they head off on the boat. But everyone runs around the side. And let me say, the Bible says that there were, but many, 33, saw them leaving, and they followed him from all the town. That's a little bit of an understatement, because we'll see that there's at least 5,000 people in a moment. And you see what Jesus is. He's tired. He's hungry. When I'm tired and hungry, I get really grumpy. When you're tired and hungry, I'm sure you're grumpy. Does anyone get hangry? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, let's put it, she got that from her dad. And here Jesus is tired and hungry, and he sees the people and he says to them, go away. No, he doesn't. He says, he has compassion. He's kind. They look like sheep without a shepherd. They look lost. And he just sat there and talked to them. And they sat and they listened to Jesus, this group of people that were over 5,000, because we're told there were just 5,000 men, so there were probably 10,000 people listening to them. And then suddenly one of the disciples, who's probably hungry himself, looks at his watch and goes, uh-oh, it's really late. These people are hungry and there's nothing to eat. What are we going to do? So Jesus says, they say to Jesus, send the people away to the surrounding countryside and the villages so they can buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would cost 8 months of a man's wages. It's almost like, let's say, a year's salary what your parents get to just spend on one lunch meal for a group of people. How are they going to do it? And so we see here as a terrible situation, hopeless. People are absolutely dependent on food and are weak. And so what I want you to realize, first of all, first and foremost, this harvest, is if we're talking about we're reliant on that much dirt just to survive, we are weak and fragile. If we take away our topsoil, we've got no food and we die. We as humans are weak and fragile. And the thing is, real Christians know that the first thing they need to realize that we're weak and fragile and we need help. So children, you might think your parents are strong, but what a really strong parent does is says, I'm weak and I need God's help. So that's the first thing I want you to do. We need God's help. We're weak. Sorry, yeah, I don't know about you, but all this talk of food made me hungry. We've got some McDonald's here. Happy meal. What do you guys, do you want some as well?
Oh gosh, I think I've got some.
Maybe you, one of you can have a chip. Wait a minute. Paul, sorry, how many people did you count this morning coming in? Sorry? 46. Don't think it's going to go very far. Okay, this is empty, so don't get all excited. It's empty, okay? So in the interest of research, I went to McDonald's yesterday. And the thing is, that McDonald's eaten and gone. But I was thinking, first of all, can you imagine, you know, here we have in the bar, we have 5,000 people. We've got 46 here, 5,000 people. And they think it was probably, those are maybe just the men that went to go get the food, that there were families as well. So there were probably 10,000. Jenny, what's the most you've ever catered for? 100. Would you like to cater for 5,000? 10? No. Okay. Okay, so I don't really know. So first of all, that's a lot of people. In fact, and we know that they're not just going, oh, it's probably this amount, because they got them to sit down in groups in verse 40, hundreds and 50, so they could count them. And they had no food to begin with, only a small amount, probably the same amount what I had there. And then Jesus miraculously broke apart, gave thanks to God, and then there were left over. There were baskets and baskets left of food. So something pretty amazing happened. In fact, it was the first fast food ever. So I thought we could do a competition. I call it JC versus MC. JC, Jesus Christ versus McDonald's. Okay, so let's have a think. How many people do you think average McDonald's, just one store, would serve in a day? Okay, Amelia seems, yes? 500, yeah? No, not 12,000. I asked the lady, anyone else want to guess how many things one McDonald's in a day? Yeah? No. So just a local thing. It serves, if they're lucky, and I think probably the best one ever could maybe serve 500 people in a day. Forget lunchtime. I asked the lady, and they were all very proud. Like, oh, we serve lots of people. So I said, more than 200? And she said, she came back and we were waiting and waiting and waiting. And then I came back and said, maybe 200. Now, I don't know if she meant lunchtime, but I don't think so, because I waited in the drive-thru for about almost half an hour. So if that's been your experience, I do not think it would be that long. So JC versus MC. So I'm going to read out a few things, and I might need some volunteers to come stand to one side. I need about 4 or 5 volunteers. Okay. First question is, okay, so one McDonald's, so we'd probably, so just to try and picture 10,000 people, there's 46 people here, let's say 50, oh my mess, so let's say 10,000, think about how many church group we'd have to copy, how many far along down the road there'd be. In fact, in Audley there's meant to be 5,000, 4,000, so maybe St. John's, El Sage's Bank, you know, we might just get close. It's feeding almost our entire benefice, the town, food. So, Jenny, you're not up for catering that? No. Okay. McDonald's can't even be up for catering that. Because how many McDonald's? Oh, I can't do my maths here. Let's just say 250 McDonald's serves 250 people. So can you imagine how many McDonald's we're going to have to fill up all over Audley, just McDonald's to serve people? So, first of all, let's see. The first thing here, we have the time that Jesus took. McDonald's is really quick. That's probably when they work well. So who here is faster, McDonald's to serve 10,000 people, MC or JC? Who wants that one? So JC, come stand here. Can everyone come stand here? Okay. So I'll pull you up now. That's 1 point. Okay. Cost. So how much do you think it's going to cost to get 10,000 Happy Meals? I don't know. Let's say it's 50,000. Is that right? Pounds, I don't know. Okay, but you know how much it cost the people with Jesus? Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. Have you ever heard there's a saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch? There is. So, do you want to come and stand over here? So that's JC versus MC. It's 2 points. You come stand aside. Okay. Distribution. So McDonald's recently got into the news. There was no ice cream in McDonald's because of distribution trucks and petrol. Jesus, he didn't have a truck with him. They just came over in a small boat. There wasn't a cave he was standing in front of. So can someone come and stand here? Because JC versus MC wins again. So I got enough there.
I got MC, right?
Okay. In McDonald's, is there ever normally stuff left over? Don't you ever feel like, oh, I just wish there was some more? You know what happened with Jesus? There was 12 baskets left over. So, Bella, you come stand this side. That's a point here. Okay. And so we've done cost, we've done amount of food, and also, let's see what else there was. Cost, amount of food. Service. You wait in line as they were breaking it apart, people getting it. Amelia, can you come stand up here? So that is, come this to side. And you're going to need to get down, Gabriel. So one, okay, just wait, we'll count, then you can go down. Just wait. So one, two, three, four, five. Okay, five versus zero. Okay, children, you can go down now. Thanks. Please, Gabriel, go. Thank you. So that's JC versus MC, it's 5-0. Thank you for your help. And excuse the chaos. Sorry. Logistically, things even went better than my illustration out with Jesus as they broke things up. There was 12 baskets left over. We're not too sure what the baskets were, but they probably would have been equivalent to about carry bags or whatever that people had, handbags, rucksacks. And so there was more left over. So I want you to see, the one thing is that Jesus gives, but he's kind. When he's hungry, he has compassion on people, and then he gives so generously that there's stuff left over. Instantly, the first fast food thing in history and the most efficient fast food thing ever in the world happens when 5 to 10,000 people are fed like that, and there's more than enough. Now, if you were grew up in Jewish tradition, you would have thought, hey, that reminds me. Has anyone ever heard of that expression, deja vu? It's a weird thing. You're like, I'm sure I've felt this before. Deja vu, something happened like this way back in the Old Testament. Anyone know? A group of people, huge group of people were hungry in the desert. They're without food. It was a hopeless situation. And then God provided for them as the Israelites in the Exodus. And so this is a bit of saying, like, wait a minute, there's something going on here. And then the thing is also to figure out, there's something more than Jesus just showing. First of all, we see man is hopeless, desperate need of help, and God is a generous provider. Moses in the desert had to speak to God. Jesus just gives thanks and breaks things. It was a different situation. We see that there's something more than just a great lunch going on. And so later on, just listen to this, 51 and 52. They're going back, and Jesus decides to take a stroll on the water, as one does, and he's walking along the water, and the disciples are frightened. They go, it's a spook! It's a ghost! We're scared. They cried out because they saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, this is I. Don't be afraid. He climbed into the boat with them. This is 51. The wind died down, and they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, and their hearts were hardened. There's something big going on here. There is, it's a huge banquet, but it's telling us something about Jesus. The other thing is, just before this, if you're reading it, there's another banquet. It's Herod. John the Baptist gets his head cut off. There's lying, there's deceiving. The two banquets couldn't be more different. Here, generously, Jesus gives, and he's showing us that he's God. He's the provider that gives us all things. And so I want you to see, first of all, we're in desperate need of help. Jesus is incredibly generous, and God is the provider, and he's kind, and he gave us things. So when we say, let's be grateful, we thank God for it all. But I want you to see the one other thing is that Jesus is so kind, he went even further. because he gave not any bread, but he gave his life. He sacrificed himself. He was so kind to death. And that's what Christians really are grateful for. We're grateful for bread, but lots of people are grateful for bread. We're grateful for food on the table, grateful for the farmers. Lots of people are grateful for that. But there's only a small group of people that are grateful that Jesus took their sin, that died for them in their place so they can have heaven and a banquet like this forever and ever. And that's Christians. So I'm not too sure, as we go away, a good thing we could do, one thing could be to be more grateful, to thank God for things. And you might do that already. But even if you've got nothing, because often we can get focused on the grumbling side of things. And I went to a church growing up that said, no, you always need to count your blessings, okay? So, yes, you've lost your wife, you've lost your legs, but you've got a nice car. You know, so try and focus on that. And it's guilt, and it makes you feel bad. Yes, I need to be more grateful. But I want to turn it around and say, God did not spare his only son for you. And therefore, whatever you're facing this week, you can bring your problems to him, but be grateful. And this might be a great way to start a prayer. I always start a prayer with, God, I need this and this and this and this. I'm worried about this and this and this. A list. And I end up by getting more stressed. A brilliant way would be to say, God, you created the world. You're in charge of everything. You didn't spare your only son for me. He died for me so that I can be in a relationship with you. I deserved hell and you gave me heaven. I also look back and I see how you've given me food on the table. You've looked after me. You've taken me through whatever problems I've got. Now, God, please help me with this. So it's a prayer out of thankfulness to ask. So that may be just two things you can do this week. Just be more grateful for things. Also be grateful for salvation. And when you ask for something, ask for it in that way. Not because you want to feel guilty that I shouldn't do better, but not to feel guilty that I shouldn't be grumbling and asking. You can go to God and grumble and ask, but just remember what he has done for you, and that might help you. Amen.